When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Football Social Daily. Premier League updates.
Welcome to Football Social Daily, and you may be thinking, why on earth are you introducing it with a different name? Well, we got a rather nasty letter from those at the top table at the Premier League. Are we even allowed to say that anymore? We don't know. Anyway, 7 days a week, this is the podcast we bring you every single day, covering all the big talking points in the greatest league in the world, and I am going to say it, the Premier League. But not only is it the best league on earth, it's also the richest. And English football has a rich history. We have a pyramid system and a passion for football across the land, which is the envy of the world. And with all this money in the top tier, could the Premier League do more to help those clubs in desperate financial situations? We'll ask about that on Football Social Daily. Also, with Romelu Lukaku having moved to Inter Milan and Alexis Sanchez seemingly close to following suit, are Manchester United stars being made scapegoats, or are they getting deserved stick for underperforming? The big Belgian thinks that the flak is unnecessary. And after his unbelievable fantasy football tip, which can only be called a worldie, Timo Pukki in, who then went and bagged a hat-trick much to Phil Hudson's disdain, our in-house FPL expert Kieran Howley's here to give us a little golden nugget to help you sweep up the points this weekend. So all of that in the company of Phil Hudson. Hello, Phil.
Morning, mate.
And Jim Salverson. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
My name's Niall McCorn, and let's get straight into it. I don't want to beat around the bush anymore. I gave it quite the build-up because this is something quite close to my heart, because I know exactly what their fans are going through. Bury, on the verge of being kicked out of the Football League. Six fixtures in a row postponed, an estranged owner, 134 years of history. The situation they find themselves in is, in my opinion, unacceptable. People need to be held accountable for this. But the question has to be asked, because I've seen it everywhere on social media, does more need to be done from a Premier League perspective to help those clubs in turmoil? Now, let me try and tee off with this. Richard Scudamore, who was the outgoing Premier League chief executive, was given a £5 million gratuity from Premier League sides as what can only be described as a thank you for his service sort of payoff. That £5 million would go a long way to securing the future of Bury Football Club. Does more need to be done from the Premier League? Because this is a sad, sad situation.
First off, it's £10 million, isn't it?
Well, whatever it was, it's a bloody lot of money.
500 grand, 20 teams, that's £10 million quid. And I kind of think Richard Scudamore deserved that. I think the way the Premier League went about handing it to him was a little bit strange. The fact that they asked for donations from other clubs, and it was a voluntary donation as well, which some clubs had a bit of a problem with. But I think Scudamore brought so much money into the Premier League, he kind of deserved that. With the whole argument with Bury and Bolton and their futures being in question, I think it's a horrible situation for any football fan to go through. And I think these aren't football fans that wanted their team to be challenging for the Champions League. They didn't expect their team to be turning up at Old Trafford each week and playing games. They just wanted their local team that is part of their community. They wanted to walk out their front door, go 20 yards down the road and walk into their football stadium that they do every Saturday. And it's really sad that they are losing their football clubs. But there's loads of sad things in the world.
I thought that I was going to be the really hard ass here, but Jim's absolutely blown me out of the water, so that's great news. Jim's absolutely right. There's no responsibility for a business to support another business. Effectively, a competitor.
Yeah.
But there might be an argument about supply chain. So if you're a Premier League club, yeah, without the depth that the Football League provides, in terms of depth of professionals, opportunities to get into the professional game that a lot of other countries in Europe don't have, there's no production line of young English talent. But the flip of that comes, that's how the Premier League support these clubs.
Mm.
Because if you're Crewe Alexandra selling David Platt way back when to Villa, or you're Rochdale just sold the young at Norwich over the summer, for example, that's where the support comes in. And transfer fees for young players have risen exponentially as the Premier League has expanded. So for me, the Premier League does support those clubs. I found Scudamore's payoff a little bit distasteful in terms of how it was sort of come about. But what I would say is, in any line of work, when you're dealing with the amount of money the Premier League has and you're the chief executive of a business that's increased its profitability to that scale, you're going to be in line with a pretty huge payoff.
If that had been a bonus that was written into the contract, no one would have questioned it. It wouldn't have even been on the radar. So, the fact it was asked of from Premier League clubs. So, and the amount of money that's involved in the Premier League compared to the Championship and Division 1 and Division 2 is distasteful in itself. The huge sums in the Premier League and where the rest of that money is in football.
It's
an imbalance, and it probably does need addressing.
The other thing that you can't get away from now is that, and I want to caveat this by saying I feel absolute sympathy for the fans, Bury and Bolton and other clubs. And we'll take your club as an example, Portsmouth. The clubs who get into this situation do so as a result of largely their own poor governance.
Mm.
Now, when Portsmouth, and I'm going to turn the spotlight right back at you here.
Yep.
When Portsmouth won the FA Cup in, what year was it?
2008.
Were you sat in the stand going, shit, you know, our turnover's nowhere near enough to justify our wages for Crouch, Defoe and all these other lads?
No.
Nico Cranchon must have been there because Redknapp was in charge.
Because I was about 15 years old. But funnily enough, you don't think about that.
But were any fans thinking that?
I don't know. But you trust in those owners, don't you? You trust in those owners. You trust in your owners of your football club to treat you in the right way. Because football clubs, you refer to them as a business.
You're preaching to the wrong man here.
They're not. Listen, you've got Mike Ashley as your owner. You are not in financial turmoil whatsoever. You do not have any risk of your club going extinct.
I think that's a totally different situation.
Any football club in the league is about 5 years away from being in financial risk.
Football is a volatile business. Anyone who owns a football club has either got so much money that they don't know what to do with it, they've got money to splash and money for fun, or they're an idiot.
Because football clubs do not make money.
They're not profitable businesses. And Phil refers to them as businesses. They are, but they're a lot more than that, because there's a lot more of an emotional element involved when you own a football club, because this is people's lives. Whatever's going on in people's day-to-day lives, the stress, the turmoil, anything to do with mental health issues or family troubles, anything like that that might be going on, people have that sanctuary of going to their own home ground on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock and watching their team. Now, if you take that away from someone, what's that going to do? How's that going to damage the community? That's a whole town you're talking about.
That's a very different argument to the idea that the Premier League should support these clubs, though, because that is the way football does its fit and proper test, which is completely ridiculous.
The villains here are the EFL.
The Premier League failed my football club.
And the owners.
Because of the fit and proper test, they allowed a man to own Portsmouth who'd never stepped foot in the UK. There was no proof of funds. They just wanted someone to own a football club that didn't make the Premier League look bad. That's all they care about, their reputation. That is all they care about. They don't care about the financial stability. They rather leave it on the side. Anything bad that happens, they'll leave it on the back burner. As long as there are sides putting out 11 players on a Saturday afternoon, they don't give a toss about the financial security of football clubs. They don't care.
I agree with you to an extent, but as Jim points out, that's a totally different thing to saying the Premier League should provide financial support to Bury.
Do you think the Premier League should be doing more to offer money down the leagues? Because that's what I've seen on social media. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with that statement. I'm merely putting it out there. And I have my own opinions on this, as I'm sure you can hear. But do you think the Premier League should be doing more? From what I can ascertain here, no is the answer you're getting at.
Well, I think from a business point of view, which is where I started off from, saying no, they have no responsibility to do more. Because I don't have a responsibility to do more doesn't mean they shouldn't be doing more. And you talked about the trickle-down approach of buying players from lower league clubs. And you look at the current England team, or the one that was in the World Cup, 17 players in that squad had experience of playing in the EFL. And that's where they got their first team football. So you can see the value of the Football League there, that it's giving the country's top flight players that early experience. So it needs to be there, and there is a use there. But how do we increase that trickle down?
And also, how many of those players went on loan to those clubs with the parent club covering their entire wages for game time?
We're
never going to know that, no. But I imagine it's significant. Not always the case. Lower league, you know, in the Championship, they may be expected to cough up a bit more. But So I think the Premier League do support them, but I think when you get into sort of an obligated financial contribution, I think that becomes quite murky.
And what do we have currently? I forget what the term is. It's not the parachute payments, it's the
solidarity payments
that they make at the moment. And it's quite unfortunate that that's just been reduced by 2% over the last 24 hours in the background. I assume it's something to do with TV rights.
It's something to do with TV.
It's directly related to TV rights.
Well, the Championship clubs really were up in arms about this when the new TV deal came through for the Championship, when they've seen exactly how much the Premier League have been able to get from overseas broadcast partners. And then the Championship clubs are still stuck with the same old deal, the same old domestic British broadcaster, whereas the Premier League increase has been something astronomic. So you can understand why clubs feel that they're getting more and more isolated. The gap between the Championship and the Premier League is growing bigger every season. You see clubs like Sheffield United having to spend X amount of money to make sure that they secure their Premier League status. Fulham spent an astronomical amount of money, over £100 million,
Aston
Villa have done the same, haven't won a game yet. Obviously, it's early doors in the season, so... I mean, are the Premier League as an institution, somewhat because of the way that the money's exploded, therefore forcing these Championship clubs to have to dip into their pockets to an unbelievable extent in order to secure themselves in what is the Garden of Eden, effectively?
Yeah, it's an arms race. But again, Championship clubs benefit from inflated transfer fees. How much did Aidan Flint, what's the name of the kid who went to Brighton from Bristol City, go for?
Adam Webster, not Aidan Flint.
I think he went to Middlesbrough.
But he did, yeah.
Adam Webster went for Brighton for £20 million for a Championship centre-half. Now, that money goes into Bristol City's coffers, inflated because it's come from a Premier League club. Bristol City then have to go and replace him. I don't know who they bought, but I'd imagine they bought a player from the Football League.
Well, they had Thomas Callas, I think. They've signed him on a permanent from Chelsea.
Yeah,
so.
But the money stays within football. It stays within, you know, so that there's a benefit to those lower league clubs. There's a trickle-down effect. You know, when you're looking at the kid who went to Brighton from Brentford, Neil Mopay, he went for £20 million.
Yeah.
10 years ago, Neil Mopay would have been a £3 or £4 million footballer. When we bought Matt Ritchie from Bournemouth, £12 million for a Championship midfielder. The money that exists in the Premier League inflates the value further down the pyramid. So there is a trickle-down effect that's already there.
And that has been boosted by things
like
the homegrown player rules that
encourage
more English players. That does increase that. But I guess the question is to Premier League clubs, how much do you value the Football League?
Yeah.
How much do you value the opportunity to give your players experience? How much do you value the idea that you can use it as a growing field, like an allotment for new talent?
Do we have a solution?
And if they do value it, then they do need to invest in it. Because at the moment, Bury and Bolton, they won't be the first clubs that have financial problems. It's going to increase. Yeah. It's going to get worse because football at the top level is getting more expensive. And what I love about football, I love relegation and promotion. I love the risk element that football has. And I think that's a brilliant thing that we can't lose. And if it carries on, and if we lose these clubs, or these clubs become non-professional or semi-professional clubs, then the Premier League is going to become more detached from the Championship and other teams below it. And we'll end up with this league that's like the NFL, where you've got this set 20 teams. There's no relegation, there's no promotion. They just play each other endlessly till the end of time.
Like the Scottish League.
That ruins a really valuable bit we have of football. So I don't know what the solution is, but I think it's something we need to be cautious of.
Is there a solution your mind? Does it stay the same?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I don't think there's a solution. Because it's human nature to go OTT. So everyone, if the Premier League gave an extra £20 million into the Football League, or what, pick an arbitrary number, you're still going to have a chairman who's ambitious, who overextends himself because it's human nature. That's why businesses rise and fall. So the reason that clubs get into financial difficulty, by and large, is because they overextend themselves. And also, when we're talking about clubs going into trouble, it doesn't just happen to the level. Leeds, Portsmouth, you know, other clubs higher up the pyramid where there is more money have still overextended themselves because people are always going to do that till the end of the time. And if you give the clubs more money further down the pyramid, all that's going to happen is someone else will do the same thing again, in my opinion. I think that the situation...
That's kind of why FFP and stuff came in the foot, supposedly.
So that's got to have more teeth. That's got to have way more teeth. Because, like, from my understanding, Bury had quite a high wage bill.
Yeah, they were the previous owner, Stuart Day, was spending far beyond his means. He was, by the end of his, I don't want to say tenancy, but at the end of his tenure as Bury owner, he was selling spaces outside in the car park in Gig Lane for 10 grand to fans. So I think owners should be regarded as custodians. I've said this multiple times. I don't think they should be considered owners. I think owners is the wrong word. You are a custodian of a club, not an owner of a club, because then it makes it sound too much like something that is your possession and you can treat it however you want, which is not right when there's so much of an emotional element involved in the football club. Personally, I think, and you know that with fans of your football club, Newcastle United, it's different.
Yeah, no, it is, but in a legal sense, it's not. There's loads and loads of businesses that you can name where people are emotionally invested in them. The only businesses that I can think of that have been bailed out by anyone...
It's been all by Mike Ashley.
It's been... Well, no. I was going to talk about the banks during the financial crisis. Mike Ashley buys distressed businesses.
Do you know what? A good comparable product would be a pub.
Yeah.
Because I think pubs probably offer very similar things to... people have a favourite boozer that they go to religiously. They use it as an escapism. They bond it with their family there. It offers... very similar things, maybe not as healthy as going to watch the football.
It's about the same, I'd say.
You would not even dream of your local pub that you've been going to for 10 years closing down and going, well, Weatherspoon should step in and invest in this pub to keep it going. It would not happen. And that's what we're suggesting.
Okay, very interesting. We've been talking about this for ages now. So let's leave it there. Time for a quick break on Football Social Daily. Afterwards, we'll be talking about Manchester United's 1-2. Well, Lukaku's already gone to Inter Milan. Is Alexis Sanchez about to follow him to Serie A? And what about Lukaku's comments on the fact that he was made a scapegoat by United supporters? Stay tuned. We'll have more after this.
Premier League Daily from Sports Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss an episode. Football Social Daily.
Welcome back to Football Social Daily. We've been talking about what the Premier League could do to help EFL clubs in financial crisis, and by the Scrooges in the studio here, absolutely fuck all is the answer that question. The realist, as Phil would say. That's Phil Hudson over there. That's Jim Selson over there. We've also got Kieran Howley, who somehow last week pulled out an unbelievable fantasy. How did you manage that, Kieran? Timo Pukki into the fantasy team, and he's only gone and scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, I've set myself up here. I've peaked too early. I'll never reach those giddy heights across the rest of the season.
Well, hopefully you don't have Alexis as your tip, because he looks like he's out of the door at Manchester United in the next couple of weeks. But what about Romelu Lukaku's comments, Jim, about he's been talking on a podcast about the fact that he feels that he was made a scapegoat at Manchester United, because Manchester United, let's face it, over the last 6 years since Alex Ferguson left the club, have been underperforming. Yep. No two ways about it. And Lukaku has said that himself, Paul Pogba and Alexis Sanchez were always the scapegoats for poor performances. In recent months, we've seen Ashley Young and Phil Jones and Chris Smalling get a bit of stick, but probably over the years, if you compare it all, not to the extent that Lukaku and co. have had. So what do you make of his comments?
I 100% agree with him. I think he's absolutely bang on. Those three players have been scapegoats, but by the same token, I think it kind of comes with the territory. If you are the player that a club has bought in for 60, 70, 80 million and you're earning 400 grand a week, that is part of the territory, because the expectations on you to perform once you're earning those wages or commanding those transfer fees is so high that you do need to perform at that level. And you have to say, actually, I think Paul Pogba is probably the most unfairly criticised out of those three. I think Lukaku will be a good player in Italy, and it's very difficult to be a great player in a team as poor as United have been over the last couple of years. Alexis Sanchez, I mean, he might deserve the criticism, but I agree they have been made scapegoats.
I think I'm with you on the Lukaku thing. 28 goals in 66 Premier League appearances for Manchester United. That is just under 1-2. It's about 1-2 and a bit. So that's not a bad record for a striker. Do you think that the price tag has had a big impact on what Manchester United fans think about these players? Lukaku, £75 million. Paul Pogba, £89 million, which was a record for Manchester
United
at the time.
People were slagging off Paul Pogba before he even kicked a ball. The moment he signed for £89 million, people were calling him a waste of money.
This is what I'm saying. What people are saying, when Lukaku misses a chance, oh, he's £75 million worth of player, he should be bagging that away. It's not Lukaku's fault that that's how much he cost. You can't blame the player for being worth that much, and therefore the baggage is there for them to perform then.
I kind of take your point. It's not Lukaku's fault that that's how much he cost.
He's going to miss chances. He's a striker.
But the fact remains that there's an expectation. So the criticism isn't actually necessarily of Lukaku. It's actually of the people who paid $75 million for Lukaku, isn't it?
If that's how much
he
feels,
he feels an implied criticism of him there. The fact is that if someone's saying that, the chances are he probably should have done better with the chance anyway. I think Pogba's a funny one. I went to Old Trafford 2 years ago to watch. We lost 4-1, having gone 1-0 up. Very Newcastle performance. And Pogba beat us on his own. He was outstanding. I'd never seen... I came away just wow, because he could literally do everything. He can beat a man one-on-one. He's got a great range of passing. He wins stuff in the air. He's strong. I was absolutely blown away by how well he played. And the idea from that someone could criticise him at the time just was like, what is going on? And then I watched him at St James's last year and he was rubbish. And it was just a different player and you're going, how on earth
but
can
to
that...
to keep that level of consistency up, it's going to be hard, isn't it?
It is hard, but his body language is shocking. He, at times... And also, just the way he goes on doesn't help. The stupid penalty run-up. I know...
He's changed it and he missed.
I know it cost me fantasy points. But I do think that... I do think he doesn't help himself. I do think that he's badly advised. And I think Lukaku was badly advised at times as well. I think Sanchez is a totally different thing. Sanchez has just been shocking. He's been absolutely rubbish for them. And he's on... like absolutely insane money. So
do you think they're being scapegoated? Lukaku said he felt he was being scapegoated by Manchester United fans. His record, as I said, it's just nearly one in two. Paul Pogba's got 24 Premier League goals in 94 appearances from central midfield, albeit a lot of penalties. But I mean, this is a guy who is Manchester United's best performer if you go by stats from last season.
I think there's one piece of evidence that you can look at to suggest that 100% Lukaku has a point here and they are being scapegoated, and it is the criticism that these two players get. And let's talk about Pogba and Lukaku, because as you say, Alexis Sanchez is a kind of a slightly different deal. He seems to have completely gone. But Lukaku, mostly criticised for being fat. I mean, if he's fat, for a start, I want to be fat, because he is built. He's not fat.
And he was actually asked by Roberto Martinez, who's the Belgian manager, to put on weight for the World Cup.
There you go. Second, Paul Pogba, what does he get mostly criticised for? His haircut. So, and his attitude and his posts on social media. If you're criticising players for being fat when they're not and for having a silly haircut, 100%, that is scapegoating. That's in no way criticising them intelligently or constructively for their performances on the pitch. And they will have bad games, and they have had bad games. But Paul Pogba was one of Manchester United's best performers. No matter what anyone says, he has been one of Manchester United's best players over the last two seasons when Manchester United have been terrible. And Lukaku... I mean, he hasn't had the best time or didn't have the best time at Manchester United. But at the same time, again, he was playing in a poor team. I think, as you say, Phil, the criticism is towards the club, who have spent a lot of money on players, given them big price tags.
For me, the criticism's actually... the criticism's about Woodward. So they're not scapegoats for Manchester United's poor performance, but they are evidence of Manchester United's poor transfer policy.
Mm. Paul Pogba's the only star in an average Manchester United team for the last three seasons. Average. You cannot tell me Martial or Rashford or whoever else you want to think of is as good as Paul Pogba. Nope. On the level that, no, that Paul Pogba's
I'm
on.
I'm questioning
absolutely
the word
not
star.
He's the only star player in that team. So you don't think Paul Pogba's a star player?
Why is he a star player?
He's the only star player in that team.
But how do you define
the
star?
He won the World Cup with France.
And he was superb.
He won Scudetto. Mate, Stefan Givosh won a World Cup.
He won Scudetto after Scudetto with Juventus. Probably.
Why did Ferguson peddle him?
Well, no idea.
Because
he's
of his attitude.
The man himself.
Because actually, it's in his autobiography. Because of his attitude. That's why they got rid of him the first time.
Well, Sir Alex Ferguson isn't the manager of Manchester United anymore and hasn't been for 6 years. So what he says now is completely irrelevant.
And I think there's quite a few players that probably have attitude problems but still manage to perform on the pitch. I mean, I think there's probably, you'd go 50% of Premier League players at the moment have some kind of attitude problem.
Kieran, what do you think? Let's get your two pence worth on this.
Kieran's gone when he got 11 assists last year and he played 14 key passes.
I mean, you were talking about a player who changed the game. I'm thinking of the derby last year, where we thought Man United were cut and dry and we were going to win the league at their place. And Pogba stepped up at a time no one else did, and he completely influenced the game. Yeah. And we talk about he got shipped off for an attitude problem. Didn't seem a big problem at Juventus. Did a pretty good job there. Good enough to pull back for 90 million. And I think you were raking me there for going on the stats, but you look at the stats, he's a significantly better midfielder than any other option they have.
Yeah.
Like you say, there's an argument there about, well, could we have better invested the funds by spreading it elsewhere? But in terms of sheer performance, he's outperforming everyone else on the field. And you look at this year, he's still top for United players on expected goals and opportunities. It's only a missed penalty, which anyone does. Yeah. There's no one with a 100% penalty record.
His penalty record is poor, in all fairness. But I mean, like you say, I mean, he does influence games. He's the one you want to step up and bring the game to the opposition.
Every team has a scapegoat of some kind when performances are bad. It will be Luke Shaw for United this season. I've just got a feeling
because he's slightly heavier than most of the other players.
Yeah, Mark Noble gets it at West Ham constantly. The telling thing about this interview is it clearly affected Lukaku, because he's talking about it, and that affected 100%. His performances. I think that's the telling thing to take from this. There will always be scapegoats in football. There's always going to be one player that gets pelters from the fans.
Fans are well within their rights to slag off the players, but don't think they don't see it.
But footballers should be mentally strong enough to handle that. That should be part of their conditioning and part of their training, should be able to be able to handle this criticism and this abuse.
Yeah, I agree. No one's slagging off Teemu Pukki, though, are they? Well, Phil might, because he absolutely spanked Newcastle United last week in the 3-1 win at Carrow Road over the Toon. Kieran, you said that you would put him in your fantasy team. You didn't take your own advice, mate. You've lost a bucket load of points.
I know. I did this thing where I've got this theory where if you're unsure about making a decision, you can roll that transfer into the next week. It could go either way. So but either way, you end up with another transfer if you leave it. And so I left Pukki and I left Martial. Partly because of slight price rise as well, and they both outperformed both the players I was going to pull in.
Of course, we're talking about Fantasy Premier League. Kieran's our in-house Fantasy Premier League expert, the man who... You've been doing it for, 10 seasons now, Kieran?
Yeah, on and off for probably quite a while longer, but I finally decided to put my money where my mouth was and invest heavily, perhaps too heavily, according to some who might be in this room, but really put in the research and the time to see how well I could perform.
What have you got for us this week? Any sort of golden nuggets that we can take into our fantasy leagues for the weekend and wipe the floor with our mates?
He's nervous because I'm in his fantasy league and he doesn't want to give up any.
Phil, I'm shite at fantasy league and you're below me. I wouldn't worry too much.
Is this Chatham House rules, Kieran? Is this like I'm not allowed to go and implement this intelligence you're about to give me?
Well, this might have influenced it because I haven't gone for any superstars this week. What I've really looked for is value in the teams and what you can get for that sort of 7 or below sub bracket.
Cool.
And in particular, I'm looking at Chelsea, and it's been an emotional roller coaster in their first couple of games. They look like a complete write-off after United, and then had a great performance against Liverpool, and then I thought performed solidly against Leicester last week as well. And I think it's a strange one. Looking across their team, their whole team seems to be underpriced this year. Like, they're in time midfield. They're the cheapest midfielder. I know the most expensive is 7.5, I think, and that's Pulisic. And I think you've got people like Barkley, you've got Mount, both coming in at 6, both performing very well in preseason. It looks like Mount is getting the shout over Barkley, and Lampard seems to absolutely adore him.
Yeah.
And he's coming out as the standout midfielder. For only 6, you're getting the guy who's contributing the most assists and is coming second in expected goals.
He's got his first goal last week as well, so he'd be full of confidence.
He looks sharp. He looks hungry. He looks, just on the eye test, the guy who's most likely to take hold of the ball and change a game. So I think he's a really exciting option in midfield, particularly at 6. And with an amazing run of games, struck right up to game week 13, they're only playing one out of the top 6, and that's Liverpool.
Yeah, and they've already played them in the Super Cup, or probably albeit in different circumstances, obviously, but they'll know a little bit about
Liverpool. Yeah, they'll have worked out a bit of a plan there. And secondly, I'm looking a little bit hesitantly at the defence, because I don't think they've quite worked that out, but it looks like Emerson has usurped Alonso. He's got the start in all 3 of those games now, and his underlying performances are showing like he's the second coming of Alonso, but for 5.5 instead of 7. So he's already 5th best for expected goal output across all defenders across the league. Wow. And he's top for goals attempts. He's got 4 shots in the first 2 games, 3 of them from inside the box.
Well, he hit the post against Man United, didn't he?
Yeah. And he hit the crossbar, I think, again against Leicester. And if you look at his heat map even, he's looking like an inside forward / winger in terms of where he's spending his time on the pitch. So I love watching a game and knowing that you've got a fullback operating as essentially an inside forward. It makes it so exciting to watch.
They will concede goals though, Chelsea, won't they? Do you think they will?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at paper, they've got a solid defence. They've got much the same defence as last year. They shipped out Luiz, but Lampard already said in the interviews that came out yesterday that he wasn't going to be a starter anyway. He's got more faith in Zouma.
Wow.
So I think after a few games, that's going to sharpen up. And they've already looked a lot better against Leicester than they did against United. I think United was a blip.
I think Chelsea are really interesting this season. And I've said since the start, I think Lampard and Chelsea will come good this year. I think the big question, and this is partly in fantasy football as well, is how long Lampard keeps faith with the youngsters that he's playing at the moment. Because he's got some old, reliable heads at the moment in that team. Pedro's getting starts at the moment. I think Pedro will continue to get starts. But I think we're going to see Giroud creeping into that starting 11. I think Tammy Abraham might start a few on the bench and Giroud could start up front. And I always back Giroud. If he's going to start a game, Giroud gets goals. It's kind of what he does.
Or even assists, like flick-ons. He's just a nuisance, isn't he, Olivier Giroud?
Yeah, and he's a complete enabler to the full midfield as well. Yeah, like you say, he's not a goal scorer, but he gets involved and tees up chances. And Pulisic looks so quick. I can see that being as a combo. Giroud assist and Pulisic goal on more than one occasion. As you quite rightly said, though, there's the risk is rotation. We don't know what the settled side is. You imagine Jorginho and Kante are going to start every game. So then you've got Kovacic, Barkley, Mount, and Loftus-Cheek when he's back, all playing for that one position, sort of in the number 10 role. So that it's always going to be a risk, but they're so cheap that can pay off so well for you.
Okay, and just quickly, and before we wrap up, anyone to avoid or any teams to avoid, do you think that might struggle this weekend?
I've seen a lot of people shifting off Liverpool defenders. So they've gone in, brought in 3-2 big 7 million Liverpool defenders, and now they look like a shaky backline. They look shaky at the start, but without Alisson, I think you want to reinvest those funds elsewhere.
Yeah, and reports suggesting that Dejan Lovren may be close to joining Bayer Leverkusen as well. So that could be
so
one less.
That'll improve their defence.
What do you mean? He's one of the best in the world. Do you remember,
when
he said that? Anyway, thank you very much for listening to Football Social Daily, the new name for Premier League Daily. Don't worry, we will still be offering you the same great content 7 days a week, podcasts every single day with Premier League review shows and preview shows looking back across all the weekend's action. We've also got an Amazon Alexa skill, so all you need to do is say Alexa open Sports Social to enable that skill, and we'll give you a team update every single day. So any of the 20 Premier League teams that you support, every single day you will get a brand new team update with all the latest news, injury updates on your club. So don't forget to do that. Subscribe to the show as well so you never miss another episode. If you're on iTunes as well, leave us a nice little review, and we might even give you a shout out on the show. You can find us on Twitter at The Sports Social. But for now, that's it from Football Social Daily, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Football Social Daily. Get daily news and updates on your team via your Amazon Alexa. Just ask, Alexa, open Sports Social.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.